Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we wish to close out our series of studies on the unique Christ. We have already considered him as unique in his birth. He was unique in his death. He was unique in his life, and he was unique in his death. And today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider the fact that he was unique in his resurrection. As a matter of fact, in the 1 Corinthians epistle chapter 15 and verse 20, we read of that uniqueness. And now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive, every man after his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Now you notice it's Christ the first fruits. Christ is the only one that really ever challenged death and came out of it in a resurrection. He came out in a glorified resurrection. Someone says, well, now what about the fact that we see people raised from the dead in the Old Testament and in the New Testament? Isn't that a resurrection? Well, no, I don't think so. And we'll explain that later. We read about Enoch, for instance, in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This dear man of God was a man that was in touch with God, and he was out walking with God one day, and God just took him home with him. But he never tested death. He was translated. The same thing was true of Elijah. You remember that Elijah, when he was just about to go home to heaven, he and Elisha were out, and the sons of the prophets were following them, and Elisha knew he was going to heaven that day. And they passed over the Jordan River into the wilderness beyond the Jordan. And we read of them here in 2 Kings, rather, chapter 2, verse 11. And it came to pass, as they still walked on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and his mantle dropped on Elisha. And Elisha continued his ministry. Now, both of these men were translated. Now, that is not resurrection. Translation is going to heaven without dying. I've learned that from the Webster Dictionary, and it's in the Webster, in my Webster Collegiate Dictionaries. One day I challenged the use of the word translation in one of my own messages. So I checked the dictionary, and it says, among the various meanings that are listed there, and it tells about the fact that translation is going to heaven without dying. All right. Now, some people were raised from the dead in the Old Testament. There was the widow's son, whom Elijah raised from the dead, and we have the unnamed man in 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 21, that one day they were a group of men carrying this dead man out to the cemetery, and there were some bandits came by, and they hastily put him into the tomb of Elisha. And when his bones touched Elisha's bones, this man came to life again. Was he resurrected? No, I don't believe he was. So you'll understand what I mean when we come to that point in the scriptures. Now, let's go on and notice, please, that in the matter of priority, in the matter of being unique, we read it in Matthew chapter 27, verses 51 to 53. This was read recently in another sense. We gave another meaning, but I want you to show his priority as it is presented in this portion of Scripture. Verse 51 of Matthew chapter 27. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. This was at the moment that Christ cried out in a loud voice, "It is finished." And immediately after that, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Oh, don't forget those words. "And went into the holy city and appeared unto many." That was a momentous occasion. When Christ died, the earth rocked, there was an earthquake, and God rent that veil of the temple from the top to the bottom. That shows it was an act of God, not from the bottom to the top. Let's observe Scripture. From the top to the bottom. And these graves were open. Now, I think, in my own opinion, is that those graves were shaken open by the earthquake. Now, we might suppose immediately that the bodies came out, they were resurrected. But no, they had to wait till after Christ's resurrection. And then they were resurrected. That's what this scripture means. And we should read it very carefully. "And the graves were opened, many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection." Those tombs were opened for 3 days before the bodies came out. Christ must take the precedence. He must stand uniquely and supremely alone. He had to be the first fruits. They did not share in his resurrection. They were resurrected later. This is an important point to make. Now we see in the New Testament, 3 times the people were raised from the dead. There was the case of Lazarus, the case of the widow of the son of Nain's son, he was raised, and Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. The Lord raised all 3 of these people. Wasn't this a resurrection? No, I don't believe it was. Now, I know I have you puzzled, but I want to read, I want to explain exactly what I mean. We must contrast the difference between raising from the dead and the resurrection. When they raised from the dead in the Bible, they returned to their old bodies. That old body that had the sin in it, that old body that was subject to disease, they did not return to a new body. They returned to an old body. All of those people that were raised from the dead in both of the Old Testament and the New Testament, they returned to the tomb. That was no victory over death. Resurrection is a triumph over death. And Christ was the first one to be resurrected from the dead. We read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 9. Listen to these words. "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth under God." See, he had dominion over death. Death, he was subject to death once. He dismissed his spirit. He died. Died just like any other human being. But he dismissed his spirit, and then he rose from the dead, never to be subject to death again. Now, we must remember this. Keep it in mind as we consider these things. Now, let's talk about the Lord as alone, as the power of the resurrection. We read down in the 11th chapter of John's Gospel, the Gospel according to St. John, verses 25 and 26. Martha was disappointed in the Lord. Lazarus was sick. They sent for him. Your beloved Lazarus is sick. Come and heal him. That was what they expected the Lord to do. But Lazarus died. The Lord let him die. And then Martha came and she was brokenhearted. She said, "Lord, we sent for you." In effect, she said that. She said, "We sent for you. But now what can be done?" And the Lord tells her, "He shall rise in the day of resurrection." And she associated resurrection with an event. And the Lord Jesus Christ corrects her there as he speaks to her in the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. He says there, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Resurrection is not an event. It's a person. Christ is the power of the resurrection. We see this in John's Gospel, chapter 5. In verse 24 of that wonderful Gospel, we read, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word and believeth on me that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now the Lord on this occasion was being questioned. He was being ridiculed. He was being persecuted by those non-believers that surrounded him at that time. Listen to these words. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And now listen, if you please. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now the Lord Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The time is coming, the hour is coming, when all those that are in the graves, and there are two resurrections, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now those that are resurrected in life are those to whom the Spirit of God gave a brand new body. This is resurrection. These people that were raised in the Bible, they didn't have brand new bodies. They went back to their old bodies. They simply were raised from the dead. That's the only way you can say it. They were raised from the dead. But the resurrection, we are raised, caught up, given a new body, and death is forever put behind us. How wonderful it is to read these things. This mortal is going to put on immortality. This 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, read it, beginning at verse 51. We don't have time on the broadcast. But God is going to conquer death in the resurrection. But he is the first. And because he says, I live, ye shall live also. Oh, how wonderful to consider the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, and that all is centered in him. I'll tell you, when you get Christ, you've got something. Our Father, we just thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for this hope and blessed hope that the Lord is going to raise us out of these bodies someday soon at the rapture of the church. Until then, we give you thanks for him. In his own peerless name, amen.